Good morning. Thank you, Kurt, for those songs. Thank you for the men that have taken parts in our worship service so far today. Have a couple of prayers that want to get to before we get into our lesson. Want to welcome our visitors. We have a number of visitors with us. I'm a friend of mine and Stacy's, Anthony, that known for about a year, I guess, a little more. We got some other visitors that I haven't had a chance to meet yet. We've got a gentleman from Detroit. So there you go, Don. You're always griping about there's two of you. And we got Kim and Hardy back. They've been with us numerous times. We kind of don't even consider you visitors anymore. But anyway, we're very glad to have you guys. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. Nice to see Van and Celia with us. Got a prayer request here to please continue praying for discouraged Christians, that they may return to the body and live by God's standards rather than be content with living by man's standards. What a wonderful request. Pray that their hearts be opened. That is something I'm sure every one of us can think of, people that we would like to influence and that their heart needs to be opened to get back having the desire to be worshiping with Christians instead of just kind of drifting out in the world. And also a prayer request. Dana Briggs is going to be having shoulder surgery this coming Thursday. So we need to remember her. That's, started to say better her than me, but that sounds bad. But it's not something I want to go through. So let's remember Dana and her family, as they're going to be having to take up a lot of the slack, because everything I hear, it's a long recovery. That's the surgery Bobby had recently. I think Kurt's wife Debbie has had that, maybe other people. I know Brandon has just had surgery on his arm, so the recovery's not fun. Let's go to God in prayer real quick before we get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you be with those Christians, our brothers or sisters, that are maybe fighting that battle of discouragement, fighting that battle of feeling overwhelmed, maybe a lack of faith, or just flat got out of the habit or have lost the desire to come together with Christians. Sometimes Christians are a reminder and kind of a glaring reminder of choices that they're choosing to live by, and it's easier to not be reminded. But we ask that you inspire them, help us to be a bright light for them and an anchor to where when they in their hearts and minds want to return, that they know where to return to. Dear God, we're reminded of the parable of the prodigal son. And it only happens when they come to their senses, as it says in the story. Dear God, we ask that you be with Dana as she's preparing for her surgery Thursday. We ask that you be with the doctors, be with the nurses that will be caring for her. Please let her get the care that she needs for a full recovery. Be with her family at this time as she's going to kind of be incapacitated for a while. We ask that if there's anything we can do as her brothers and sisters, that we step up and help her and her family. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. Dear God, we've got a couple of announcements, some upcoming events. This coming Thursday is the Serving Our Kids Night, and that's at 6 o'clock. The sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board back there, and then normally, I don't see why we wouldn't this week, but normally we usually go eat pizza after we do that. That's a, you know, that gets some people out to do the work just to know they're going to go eat pizza. Then a week from today, here at South Valley, is the area-wide singing, and that will be at 2 o'clock. We're hosting it, and usually five or six different congregations are represented, and want to make sure we have a good showing and welcome the other Christians here. And then next Saturday, we had a meeting yesterday for the building committee of searching and planning, you know, hopefully someday getting a building. We're going to have another meeting. Any of the men that didn't get a chance, or if you want to participate in that, it'll be next Saturday at 8 o'clock. And we'll bring the leftover dry still donuts that were fresh yesterday. We'll bring the leftover donuts next week for you that missed yesterday. So shows you to show up on time on the right day. And then that was meant with love. We're bringing donuts. They're going to be stale, but and then a week from this coming Saturday, 2 weeks from yesterday, we'll have the memorial service, the celebration of life for Raven. That will be at 11 o'clock in the morning. It will be a week from this coming Saturday, and I'm sure it'll give us a chance to have some closure. It's been a while since many of us have been able to see Raven with her prolonged ill health, but it'll be a chance for us to come together. Her family's coming in from Colorado, and we'll have a memorial, and as her family wanted to put it, a celebration of her life. So we'll do that a week from this coming Saturday, 11 o'clock. Okay, we're going to shift gears a little bit and get into our lesson. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever said that either out loud or at least to yourself? Why me, Lord? What? And I'm sure every one of us has gone through things, whether it be financial issues. You know, I've joked many times, I've never had money problems. I've had calendar problems. More days in there. You know, the money would have been fine. It's just there's too many days until the next payday. But, you know, financial issues. Seems like something's always popping up at the exact wrong time, just when you think you're getting a little breather, a little respite from life, something else pops up. It's kind of like that whack-a-mole game. You think you got everything covered, and then here comes something else. And it's easy to say, why me, Lord? Why am I going through this? I just keep getting dumped on. And that's one of the things, the prayer request about people getting discouraged. This can be a whole nother lesson, but sometimes due to our expectations, we get discouraged because maybe we expected things to be different. That when we become a Christian, we're expecting everything to be smooth sailing. Never in the Bible have we been guaranteed. And in my opinion, and I don't like to talk in terms like that, because who cares? Who cares about my opinion? You know, it's worthless. But the way I see it, life's tough enough without God. I couldn't imagine going through life and the things we face that many people also face in the world without the hope of God, without that reassurance, without the building up of our brothers and sisters to help when we stumble, to pick us up, to lean on when we need to, for sometimes to maybe even have to be carried a little bit. And people say, you know, if I'm going to be carrying you, Bruce, I want you to lose some weight. But sometimes we have to carry our brothers and sisters for a while until they're strong enough and we give them that strength to where they can continue that journey. Sometimes we're faced with health problems. I'll tell you, when you're not feeling good, normal things are exaggerated. Just the normal ins and outs of life. If you're not feeling good, it's like accelerated because you're looking out of eyes that are skewed to begin with from the way you feel. Problems at work. We've been blessed with being able to work for probably a good, you know, kids at school will say, I got a job. Or you know, that'll be one day, and then next week they're saying, I hate my job. You know, I got the job, you know, and then next week it's, I hate my job. And I usually tell them, well, get used to it. You've only got about 50 more years of it. Problems at work. Have you ever been in a situation where the moment you spend your X amount of time at work, maybe 8 hours, and whether it's the work or the people you have to deal with or something, the moment you get off, a lot of people are, oh, I'm off, and they leave behind. The moment you get off, you're dreading having to go back in 16 hours. That's how bad things at work can be. Maybe a boss that is constantly nagging at you. Maybe a really negative coworker. Or maybe just the customers. Maybe you have a job where the people you deal with, it brings you down. If you ever go through one of these things that one thing breaks down, you have a blowout on the tire, and then before you can even get that fixed, the air conditioner goes out at home, the refrigerator goes out, the window breaks from something, and it just seems like, kind of like the, you know, when it rains, it pours. It just seems like you're being bombarded. And I haven't even mentioned kids yet. Just the very mention of kids, you know, is a whole nother issue. But a lot of times we have that attitude, why me, Lord? What have I done? Why is all of this coming down upon me? And I don't mean this in a rude way. Why not you? Why not? Why not me? I'm nothing special. Do I deserve not to have these normal things of life? I don't have a little umbrella over me to protect me, a little force field that these things don't happen. You know, we're not anything special, different from the rest of the inhabitants of the world. And I'm sure not more special than Job. I'm not anything more special than the Apostle Paul or even Jesus. They had things happen to them. We can use them as an example. How did they deal with issues? This is a good lesson also for, for refuting that concept of the health and wealth gospel. We see people even today, it goes all the way back to the Bible, but even today, people have this idea that if you're a Christian, life is going to be just peachy keen for you. No pitfalls. I don't know what dimension you're living in. There's no guarantee that it's going to be a walk through the park. That the more religious you are, the less problems you'll have. Some of the strongest godly people in the Bible were loaded down with problems. And one of those things, it helped make them who they were. In Matthew 5:45, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Everybody in the world, good things happen to bad people. And bad things happen to good people sometimes, just like they do the bad people. We're in this world. When it rains, the good and the bad get the rain. When God sends his sun, it's going to shine on the good and the bad. It's the way God made it. We're not immune. We're not immune to problems. Job, the greatest example I can think of, that's one of the prime examples in the Bible that we always think of about the things Job went through. Job lost everything. Job lost his possessions, his herds, his livestock were stolen by raiders, his servants killed. He gets news that his children were killed. He lost his children. I couldn't imagine that. He later will suffer things himself, boils from the top of his head to the bottoms of his feet, all over his body, painful, ugly, hurtful boils. His wife has this attitude, "What have you done?" His friends had the health and wealth gospel. "You must have done something really bad for this to befall you." No. That's what people look at today. Something happens. What have you done for God to be mad at you? Or God must be blessing you because you got this raise. How do you behave if you don't get the raise? That's a question I have. But his wife comes and she's saying, "Just curse God and die." So much for that support helpmate that God wants, you know, to be able to rely on the spouse. Just curse God and die. Or do you still hold to your integrity? And it says, but he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He didn't use this as an opportunity to blame God. "Oh, God caused all this. You know, I'm going to get bent out of shape and I'm going to leave God. That mean guy. You know, I'm not going to serve him anymore." Job never did that. In fact, later on he says, "Though he slay me, I will honor him. Even if my life is taken, I won't turn against him. In Hebrews 12:6, we're reminded, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Sometimes I wonder, boy, God, you must really love me a lot. You must really love me, because you're chastening me in my life quite a bit sometimes. But we need to remember that. We don't raise our children just with no restrictions. We have placed restrictions on them, rules, regulations. Why? Because we want them to be good people. Sometimes we have to discipline our children. If we didn't, we don't love them. The worst thing we could do, the worst disservice we could do, is just let our kids run amok. You're on your own. I did my part. Your mom did her part. You're on your own now. Have fun right when you get work. But Dad, I'm 4. Good luck. It's a tough world out there, kid. We train, we raise, we discipline, we guide, we corral our children. We're the children of God. And sometimes he has to chasten us to get us going in the right direction and a reminder of what he expects from us. 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, Paul is talking to the Corinthians. They were wanting to play the works game, the salvation of works. And he's reminding, you don't want to play that game. I'm not going to play that game, and you don't even want to play the game with me, much less with God. You can't even measure up to me, Corinthians. Let me tell you what you'll be playing if you're playing with me. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant. In stripes above measure. And we're not talking about stripes in the military. You know, remember, Andrew, in the military, as you work up, you get more. No, he's not talking about stripes like that. Stripes of whippings on his back. Can you measure up to? Do you want to measure up to me? Can any of you say that about me, Paul says? In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. He was left. They thought he was dead. They beat him so bad. And they come back, and the brethren come back, and he's still alive. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. Weary in weariness and toil. In sleeplessness often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. So Corinthians, do you want to still play this game? Can any of you have any of you suffered these things as much as me? And I count it nothing. He goes on to say, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. on top of all those physical problems he faces, the persecutions, the jailings, the whippings, being beaten nearly to death, is his emotional concern for his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But yet there are people that think that Paul must be a bad Christian to suffering all these things. One of the greatest examples in the New Testament of a godly man. And yet, look at the things he endured. 2 Timothy 3:12, he wrote to Timothy, he says, "Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Knowing this ahead of time, here's a good selling point to talk about our evangelism class and say, here's a selling point. Oh, so you want to be a chicken hawk, huh? You know, so you want to be a Christian. Everybody that desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You're not getting away from, and I'm not saying there's not benefits of being a Christian. There is. But sometimes we sell, some people sell people studying the Bible a bill of goods that being a Christian, you don't suffer. You know, it's just a walk in the park. It's not. It's tough being a Christian. It's tough dealing with the people of the world. But like I said earlier, I don't see how people without God, it's tough enough to just live life having God in your life, much less without God. The attitude Jesus displayed is a good one to remember in Luke 22 after he instituted the Lord's Supper, before he would be arrested and face his trial. Jesus spent time praying. And part of his prayer was, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Having that attitude going into something, that whatever happens, I will serve you. Paul didn't enjoy getting whipped. Paul didn't enjoy being in prison. It wasn't Club Med. It was a hard, rough place. But he used any and every opportunity to serve God. If he was free, I'm going to serve God. If I'm in good health, I'm going to serve God. If I'm going to be beaten within an inch of my life, I'm going to serve God and glorify God. It also, when we face these things, instead of saying, "Why me, Lord?" have the attitude, it's an opportunity for us to grow. It's an opportunity. It's a door opening for us to become better. But it's our choice. We can reject that opportunity. Sometimes those hardships in life might be there to keep us humble from thinking too high of ourselves. God has a way of humbling us. God has a way of humbling his people. It forces us to turn to God rather than ourselves. I don't know if you're like me. I'm one of those. I try to control too many situations in life. I think by force of will, I can do something. Nothing can stop me. Yeah, a lot of things can stop me. And it's been kind of a rude awakening, slap in the face, to realize I can't mentally will myself, physically work myself out of something. Sometimes I have to turn to God. A lot of times I have to turn to God. And it tempers us. It strengthens us. Just like a blacksmith. You've got a raw piece of iron. By heating it and pounding it, pounding the tar out of it, cooling it down, heating it up, pounding it, you're making it stronger. That piece of iron taking a beating gets tougher and stronger. And that's us. Could you imagine if we've never had to face anything? That if we've never had to overcome anything, the first little thing that comes along would just destroy us. We'd be heading, running for the hills. But we've been tempered by life. And we have to take that opportunity to grow from it. Paul wrote in Romans, says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. What? Glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. And then the very next verse, and hope does not disappoint. When we build these things, our scripture reading today that Terrence read, from James, my brethren, count it all joy. Hooray! Oh boy, the air conditioner broke down. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We don't get strong unless we're pounded a little bit. And then that's when we get tempered and strong. 2 Corinthians 12, Paul said, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There's nothing wrong with going. We see Paul's example. Nothing wrong with going to God and offering our prayer of request. But God's answer was, you're fine just the way you are. We can study and have theories about what that thorn in the flesh was. A lot of scholars think that it was his eyesight. That trouble seeing. You know, Paul would have liked to have had good vision, but you know, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. You're fine just the way you are to serve me. And it's not, will I serve God if I've got good vision? Will you serve God in whatever circumstance you're in? That's the key. He finishes up, he says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The Bible is full of kind of extremes like that. Being weak, but yet strong. Acts 9:16, for I will show him, the Lord's talking to Paul, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul was aware of it because the Lord told him the things he was going to have to face in his decision to follow Christ. In Philippians 1, Paul wrote, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Paul's writing this to the Philippians from a Roman jail. I don't know if I would be rejoicing if I was sitting in a jail cell. But Paul says, "I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." He's made, by the way he's behaved in prison, his captors realize, we don't have him bound. He's bound to Christ. He just happens to be here in our chains. But who he's really bound to is Christ. And goes, "And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul's example in prison has turned out not only for the people guarding him, but for the rest of the brethren, that they may be facing someday the same thing he faces. Well, Paul's gone through it. He's given me inspiration to get through any persecutions I may be facing. So when we ask, "Why me, Lord?" let's keep some things in perspective. One, why not you? We live in this world. We're going to be facing things that other people face. And it's the opportunity for us to grow. I'd like to close out with a scripture from the Apostle Peter. Peter says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified." When we face things, let's make sure by the way we behave and react that God is glorified through us when we face these things. Instead of saying, "Why me, Lord?" let's be glorifying God in it. If you need to respond to the invitation, if there's anything we can do for you, if there's sin in your life that you need to repent of, I urge you, repent. Don't let another day go by carrying that sin with you. If you've been studying and realize that you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we can accommodate you. I know, Kurt, we know that water's clear, right? It is clear as can be. Kurt just changed it out yesterday. And it's as clean and pure as possible. And if you need to be baptized, we can accommodate you. If you need prayers of the congregation, we would be glad to pray with and for you. Please keep those, Dana, in your prayers this week, in your personal prayers for her surgery to go well. Please remember those that have been discouraged, because I tell you, it's a tough world, but it's tougher without God. If we can be of service to you, please come forward, let your needs be known while we stand and sing.